Thank you, man. Well, good morning. All right. I had a terrific day yesterday. As you know, I loved playing football when I was in high school, and had a good day watching college football yesterday. The team I wanted to win won. The team I wanted to lose lost. So it was a good day. And in football, and in every sport you ever play, the very first thing that we teach or is taught to you is that you have to have the right foundation. You've got to have your feet planted firmly. If you do weightlifting, if you do CrossFit, if you do basketball, everything in life, it comes down to, hey, you've got to have solid footing. Football players, most football players at the college or pro level have two or three pairs of shoes, and then one of those pairs of shoes has three or four different sets of cleats on those shoes. Why are they spending all that money and time on cleats and shoes? Because foundation is everything. Where being able to be secure in what you stand on, it going forward, it impacts everything. Now, what I'm experiencing, and I think you're experiencing it too, because I'm experiencing it with you, is that we live in a time and on the moments of our lives. It's not like it's never been like this in the world ever. But this is what I'm experiencing, and I think you're experiencing. Just the other day, I went to meet with a guy, and we're not two sentences into the conversation, and it's like, hey, I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe. Can we believe anyone anymore? I don't know who to believe. And this is not just one area of life. It seems like every area of life. Things that were true have been true for thousands of years now, they're no longer true. Things that people said were true a month ago, now they say are not true. And it's like, where do we stand? Now, we're kicking off what's called Stronger Together in the Word. I want to give you these titles, make sure you understand them. Every year we do a 40-day campaign. And that campaign, and every year we love it. Like, we really love it. I'm always surprised at how much fruit that comes out of it. So this year is Stronger Together in the Word. That's the name of the campaign. Then we have a series. The series is called Word Over World. And then we have a speaker, that's me. So that's the three things that are going on, okay? So you're going to hear those terms like, what are you talking about? And as we do, there's a goal for this series. I want you to be blessed. Skyline wants you to be blessed. I want that to sink in for you. Streamers, I want that to sink in. Why does Skyline exist? Because we want you to be blessed. And just like football, foundation is the beginning of blessing. If you have the wrong foundation, even though it seems like and looks like, yeah, we're on the right track, we're in the right place, you slip and fall. If you take the wrong path, the wrong road, it can seem like at the beginning of the road, yeah, this is great, we're good, we're all right. But then you realize that road did not take you where you wanted to go. I want you to be blessed. But this is what a lot of people are experiencing. A lot of people are worried. They're really worried. You're worried. Some of you are worried about really, really big things. Like, you're worried about the whole world. The whole world. You feel responsible to take certain actions to save the world. And others of you are worried about little tiny things. You are worried about somebody spilling something on the table. Now, both of you are having the same emotion. You're worried. Others of us, we're morally indignant. You know what that means? We're mad. We're mad. And we feel so much righteousness in how angry we are. Many of us have got to stop watching the news. Because every time we watch the news, we get so mad. We are morally indignant. We can't believe those people are doing that. And morally indignant, we believe that if this keeps going on, it's going to destroy everything. Now, I'm not saying you're not right. And for those of you who are trying to save the whole world, I'm not saying you're not right. I'm saying you're worried and you're mad. For others of you, you live with a lot of guilt. When you watch the news, you feel guilty. You feel guilty that you're not doing more. You feel guilty about what you've done. You feel guilty about your life situation. You feel a lot of guilt about sometimes about things you actually done and sometimes about things that don't have anything to do with it all. But you feel a lot of guilt. Now, it's not by accident that you're worried and you're morally indignant or that you feel guilty. People want you to feel that way. Like, that's why the news is given the way it's given. That's why the advertisements happen the way they happen. They want you to feel that way. And we pour our own into it as well. But I want you to be blessed. Those things do not sound blessed. I want you to be blessed. See, what I want and what God wants is for you to be a blessing to other people. Not just blessed, but be a blessing to other people. See, I want you to be joyful and confident. Worry? No. I want you to be joyful and confident. I want you to be gentle and faithful. Morally indignant and angry? No. Gentle but faithful. What's that mean? It means I'm not acting out of anger, but I am acting. I am doing something, and I'm faithful in what I'm doing. I want you to be wise and humble. What's that mean? That means I'm learning things. I know things, but I'm always learning more. I want you to be wise, and I want you to be humble. You see, what I want you to be is not just a blessing, not just that you find a rock you can stand on. There's a story in the Bible that talks about you can either build your house on the sand or you can build your house on a rock. You build your house on the sand and the storms come, it washes your house away. Or you can build yourself a house on a rock so that even when the storms come, you're joyful and gentle and wise and humble. Now, this is what I really want. This is really where I want it to go. I want you to be a rock for other people. I don't just want you to find the rock and stand on the rock. I want you to be a rock for other people. I want you men to be men in your careers and with your friends and as a husband. You are a rock. You're the person that other people can stand on. Your wife can stand on. Your children can stand on you. And 40 years from now, they look back and go, wow, the decisions that man made so impacted my life. They so set me up for success. Ladies, I want you to be a rock. I want you to be a rock to your friends. I want you to be a rock to your children, that they can stand on you. And it doesn't fail them. It's not that, oh yeah, it looked so great at the time, but then it just washed away. No, 40 years from now, your kids look back and go, oh my goodness, the decisions, it's amazing. Many of you right now, you're experiencing blessing because other people are a rock in your life. They made decisions sometimes 40 years ago. You don't even know it all the time, and it is impacting you to the good today. You're blessed because of that. That's who I want you to be. And that's why we're doing Stronger Together. That's why we're doing the Word over the world. So as we jump into this, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about it today, but I'm going to walk you through the details of what we're asking you to do. So every campaign that we work through has these elements to it. It has a sermon component, so I'm going to talk about it every week. And so I'm going to ask you to make some commitments with each one of these. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. One is that you're going to be here for the next 6 weeks. You're going to be a part of this. You're going to faithfully be here. Yes, that means you say yes to something and no to something else. That's what I'm going to do. The next component is a small group. You're going to, that you join a small group. That's where you have an opportunity to talk about and study the Bible together. Get your questions answered, hear other people. Sometimes you go to group and other people are the rock to you, but many times you go to group and you're the rock to them. And we need that, but it's a commitment to that small group. The next is the daily devotional. We're all with you. We are on your side. We have all been there. That has happened to all of us before. Yep, that's right. All right, so we want you, so first sermon component, small group component, then a daily devotional. So in your small group, you're going to have this book. You have an opportunity. You can pick up this. If you haven't got one already, you can pick it up today back there. If you're streaming, then just let us know. You can come by and pick it up this week. And in this book, there's a devotional every day. There's actually a place where you get to go. There's two kind of devotionals. You can read it from here. There's also, this is from a church called Saddleback, and they have made videos for every day. And so you can go online, click on that video, watch that video for the day. So every day, you're going to be in God's Word. It's a commitment. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to take 40 days, and every day I'm going to be a part of that. And the next component is scripture memory. Scripture memory, that I am going to memorize a verse, at least one verse a week. Now, they've gone easy on us, and these verses are pretty short. They're hardly a sentence or two sentences. And to memorize God's Word, I'm going to commit to memorize God's Word. And then there's a project component. We as a church as a whole are going to take on a project together as we work through the 40 days. We're going to put some things in action. But you also, in your small group, are going to have an opportunity to do your own project if you'd like to be able to do that too. So we're going to have each of those components as part of these 40 days. And yes, today I'm going to ask you to commit to the 40 days. I'm going to ask you to commit to each of these components as we work our way through. In our messages each week, we're going to work through the Bible. We're going to work through how do you study the Bible. And so what we're going to start with is, can I trust the Bible? In today's age, by the way, this has gone on for 2,000 years or longer, that people have tried to disprove the Bible. They've tried to prove it's not really God's Word. There's nothing special about it. It's just a book written by men. We're going to spend some time walking through, wait a minute, is the Bible just somebody's belief, just somebody's idea? Or is there history and facts? Can we trust it? Can we trust it as God's Word? We're also going to work through the purpose of the Bible. Hey, what's it all about? As I read the Bible, why am I doing this? What comes out of this? The next is a word I almost never use. It's illumination. It's, if ever spent very much time in the Bible, you know that you've read the Bible, oh, that's good. I still read parts of the Bible and go, I never saw that before. Now, I personally have read the entire Bible 5 times. And I read the Bible and I'll be like, I never saw that. Why? Because the Spirit of God will open your eyes to truth. It's an incredible thing. We're going to spend some time on interpreting the Bible. We've never done this in church service before. We're going to spend some time, wait, how do I know that I have the right interpretation? Sometimes people say, well, that's your interpretation, but I have a different interpretation. We're both right. No, that's not possible. I say, that's a football. You say that's a basketball. One of us are wrong. We are not both right. One of us are wrong. How do you know that you're interpreting the Bible the right way? And then lastly, how do you integrate it, apply it to your life? That's what we're going to work through these next 6 weeks. So with that, I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes on building my life on the Bible this morning. So if you would, take your notes. You should have some notes in your program, or you can, online, you can look them up. You also can look them up through your app right there on your phone and follow them along that way. And so, how do I build my life on the Bible? And we're going to go to a passage in James, and we're going to start with this. Number one, I receive it with my ears. I receive it with my ears. Faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the Bible. That's going to happen to you this morning. I'm going to talk about the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to explain the Bible. You're going to hear about the Bible. Now, we live in a crazy time when you can listen to the Bible in your car, in your shower. You can listen to the Bible anywhere and everywhere. It's on your phone. Just put in the thing, you just listen to it, and you listen to the Bible. He says, faith comes from hearing the message. Oh, my faith is weak. You need to hear the Bible. You need to listen to what the Bible has to say. And it says, it's heard through the word of Christ. It's literally the word of God. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word planted in you. The soil is very important to any time that you plant something and for it to grow. Right out here in the front of our church, there are these beautiful mums. They're beautiful mums. Right here on this side are these beautiful roses. And 3 years ago, we couldn't grow hardly anything out there. It would start up and then it would just die. And a guy named Keith went to work on it. He got some guys together with him, and they dug the soil all up, and they took some of it away, and they put other stuff inside of it, and they put fertilizer inside of it. Now, it is fertile, and it really grows beautiful things. Well, you have an opportunity to create good soil for God's word to grow in you. And here's a few things that we're going to work through. For good reception, I need to be quiet. Be quiet to listen and slow to speak. This is super simple. You cannot talk and listen at the same time. No one can do it. You cannot do it. And many, many times in your quiet time, you're going to be listening and talking the whole time. In your head, you're going to be interacting and talking and talking. And you'll be like, oh, I need to get it done and then move on. No. Shh. Listen. God never talks to me. It's because you won't shut up. Shh. Listen. The second one is calm. And slow to become angry. Irritated, frustrated people rarely ever hear. They rarely ever can hear. You experience this all the time. You're mad at your brother, you're mad at your sister, you're mad at your spouse. And you just, it doesn't matter what they say. You reinterpret everything that they say according to how angry you are. So calm down. So to hear the word of God, you really need to stop trying to solve all of your life's problems and everybody else's problems and the world's problems and listen. Be able to go, wait, life doesn't start with me. It starts with God, with his word. Clean. Get rid of the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. This is really simple. The word there for filth, this is kind of unusual. The word there for filth can actually mean earwax. Earwax. You need to get the earwax out of your ear. You can't hear because it's all plugged up. I was going to talk about Q-tips, but my wife tells me all the time, don't use Q-tips, it's bad for you. But it's this simple. When you're hiding sin, you can't hear. You know what this is like. It's literally like you got caught with something in your hands and you hide it behind your hands. And they're talking to you, and the whole time you're talking to you, you're only thinking about one thing. Make sure they don't look behind my back. That's all you're thinking about. And you try to interact with them, but the whole thing is a fake. The whole thing is a ploy. No. Confession. Confess it to Christ. Be clean. And lastly, humble. Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humble is super simple. It is, this is not about me. It's not. Remember when I said I want you to be blessed? If you interact with God's word, you're like, I'm going to read God's word so I can be blessed. You're not going to hear a thing. God does not bless you because you do all the right things to get blessed. It's not a transaction. God doesn't go, jump through that hoop and then I'll bless you. No. Blessing, for the most part, is a byproduct. For the most part, blessing comes about because you meet Christ, you hear from Christ, and that transforms you and that changes you. And then you live a life that has a lot of really blessed byproduct to it. So it's a matter of, hey, this isn't about me. Which is this commitment. The making of the commitment is that it's not about you. What do you mean? I'm not going to decide what I'm going to do for the next 40 days. I'm going to let God decide. And I know God wants me to doing these things, so that's what I'm going to do. And it's up to God to talk to me. It's up to God to change me and transform me. I'm going to show up with a humble heart. Number two, read it with my eyes. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. I look in the mirror on average one time a day. I hardly ever look except for Sundays. Every Sunday I have a mirror right over here in the office, right? Because I'm going to stand out here in front of you. And actually it's because we're on TV, right? And I can see myself on TV and you're like, oh my goodness, your hair was down, it's all over the place. If you ask me 30 minutes after I look at the mirror what I look like, I don't know, right? I don't know. Because there's two ways to look at the mirror. You can glance at it. That's what I do. Which is if you meet me by 10 o'clock in the day, you're like, why does he look like that? Because I glanced. And yeah, there were things that needed to be fixed, but I didn't fix them. I'm just moving on, right? Or you can gaze. You can go, wow, look at that. Wow. Now here's the deal. The Bible is a mirror. It's a powerful mirror. People are consumed with this idea that I need to get to know myself and I need to know who I am and I need to understand myself and all of these pieces. And so they go to other people and you think about yourself. Listen. You don't know how you look. You have no idea how you look until you look in the mirror. You literally can't look at your own nose. Well, mine's really big, so I can see the tip of mine. But you can't look at yourself. You don't know what you look like until you look in the mirror. Did you know you don't know who you are until you look in the Bible? The Bible will clearly let you know who you are. And then you can change. You can grow. If you've ever tried to comb your hair without a mirror, some of you have perfected it, I know, but others of us, right? You need a mirror. That's the Bible. Look at it, not a little bit, but systematically take a look at what the Bible has to say. We have a couple of programs or ways that you can, devotionals there. There is the 40 days one that is tied into what we're doing, but there's also a second one we put there. If you go to YouVersion, there's lots of other places, but you want to be systematic in reading the Bible. You want to look at the mirror in a systematic way, meaning on purpose, I'm reading this passage, this is what I'm studying, this is what I'm working through, because that way you see who you are. And it's a powerful thing when you see yourself for who you really are. Number three, I research it with my hands and my mouth. I research it with my hands and my mouth. So I've listened to it and I've read it, but there's a whole other thing called studying it. Studying it is when I write down what I learn and then I share or wrestle with that with other people. Studying it has to do with the fact that I'm actually making notes. I'm like, hey, I had a thought here and a thought there and a thought here. And when you just read it, you have this thought and you have that thought and you have this thought. And if I come up to you a half an hour later and I say, hey, what did you learn and what did you learn? Read. You'd be like, man, it was really cool. I can't remember what it was, but it was really cool. That doesn't happen when you write it down. When you write it down and say, hey, what did you learn? This is what I learned. This is what I'm going to be able to apply. This is what I can go back to. This is what I know is true. And so that's why we want to have you be a part of groups. It's part of studying. You search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life. You want to be blessed? You want to be a blessing to others? That comes from the scriptures. And the scriptures point to me. Jesus said the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, it points to me. You want to be blessed? Then you want to meet Jesus. You want to be a blessing to others? Then you want to interact with Jesus. How do you do that? You study the Bible. You know what it says. In Acts, it talks about these people in Berea. That was a city in Greece. And it says this, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those of the Thessalonians. They listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas. Now listen to this, to see if they were really teaching the truth. That's exactly what I want you to do with everything I ever teach. I want you to go, that sounded good, Chris, but we're going to find out if the Bible really says that. I understand you read that one verse and you made all this out of that one verse. Well, let's find out if the Bible really says that. Does that connect with what the rest of the Bible says? There is no power in believing what Pastor Chris says or any other human being. There's amazing power when you read the Bible and go, I know that's what God said. God has spoken to me. I know what he said. How does that happen? You study it. You're curious. You're constantly learning. Number four, I review and remember it with my mind. I review and remember it with my mind. The man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now again, it doesn't say if you do this, God will bless you. It says you'll be blessed in what you do. It's a byproduct. How do you do that? How do you live your life remembering the scriptures? The Bible term for remembering and reviewing God's word is meditation. I memorize it. And I think about how it applies to a given situation. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Don't just talk. Think about how you apply that to life. And so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, you know I don't like magic. I don't like woo. The Bible's and God's interaction with like us is not really that way. It's not that he doesn't do miraculous things. It's that it's not a puzzle. But this specific principle I find to be mind-blowing. It's what happens to you when you memorize the Bible. It's what happens to you when you want to change a part of your life. You want to change a habit in your life. You want to change the way you react to people. The power of memorizing the Bible is amazing. It's amazing. Not all of you know, but I grew up with this insane temper. I have yet to meet anybody who had a temper as bad as my temper. And repeatedly, I would get report cards that would come home, and the teachers would go, if you don't get this kid's temper under control, he's going to end up in jail. I was out of control. And I came to Christ, and I remember memorizing actually this passage, which is, there is nothing good, how's it say it earlier? For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. See, when I got mad, I was always self-righteous. I was always indignant. I was mad because somebody got cheated. Primarily, me. I didn't see it that way. I saw it that I needed to make the world right at all costs. And I didn't care who I had to fight. I didn't care how much trouble I was going to get in. I didn't care what chairs I had to knock over. I didn't care. Because I was right. And I memorized this passage. And over again, I would come into particular situations and God would whisper this passage into my heart. Hey, your anger, whatever reason you're angry for, will never produce righteousness. It will never produce righteousness. To this day, when I get mad, before I act, I go, you might be mad, and you might believe you're totally 100% justified, but this anger you've got is never going to produce what God wants. It will always produce the opposite. Well, how do you remember that? You memorize it. You memorize it. And the more you memorize, the more power you have to do the right thing at the right time. And guess what happens when you do the right thing at the right time? It produces all kinds of blessing in your life, and you become a blessing to other people. Last one is, I respond to it with my actions. I respond to it with my actions. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do you hear that? Don't just listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Hey, I went to church today. That counts for something. No, it does not. Going to church counts for nothing. It doesn't matter how much you listen to the word if you don't do it. It doesn't. I had my devotion. I did all these things except for practice it. You've been deceived. I've been that person in my life many, many times, and I bet you have too, but I know you've met somebody. They talk about Jesus, and they talk about the Bible, and they talk about God, and they talk about religion, and I do not want them to be my friend. Why? They're deceived. They don't have joy and peace and faithfulness. They worry and they're angry and they're self-righteous. They're deceived. They fooled themselves. Why? Because they did the first four, but they didn't practice it. He says, be deceived. Do what it says. Everyone who hears these words of mine, that's the Bible, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against it. That house yet did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, are storms going to come into your life? It's 2021. I don't have to ask you that question. We have had some storms. Literally, in the last few months, we've had some storms. We've also had the pandemic. It's actually so many hard things. So many storms have come into our lives. The huge problems that we're having, even communicating with each other. The storms, I don't have to tell you, the storms, they're going to come into your life. Those who find the Word of God, they come to know the Word of God, and they put that into practice. You're building your house on the rock. But when you treat the Bible as just one more source of information, it's a good resource. It's part of my life. Then you build your life on the sand. There's two houses. The first house was built on the river in, I believe it was Ohio. And I was actually going to download the video and show it to you. I couldn't get a good enough quality one, so I'm going to describe it to you. It's a beautiful house. Quite frankly, it's a house on the river. Don't raise your hands, but no, raise your hands. How many of you would love to have a house on the lake? Wow. No, more of you. You've got to want to have it. I love the idea of having it. I've always wanted to have a house on the lake. This was it. It was one of those big, wide rivers, and they had a dock there. The boat wasn't there, but they had a dock there, so you knew they had a boat, which means they could water ski. They could enjoy life. They could love life. They could fish anytime they wanted. They could go out and have their fire, and out past the fire is that river with all that beauty and the sunset. Incredible. But not this day. This day had been raining a lot, and the river was high. But it wasn't as high as the house. The house was up here on the bank. But you could see it. The river was going and going and going, and that sand was falling. And it was falling. And that river was eating away and eating away and eating away and eating away. The water never rose as high as the house. The house did not get flooded. What happened was that river kept flowing by, and the sand keeps falling, and it keeps falling, and it keeps falling, and then goes the porch. And the porch just falls off the house, and now it's all torn up and it's ugly. And you're like, man, I hope it stops there. But it doesn't. It just keeps going. Storm, storm, storm. Sand flows away. And sure enough, now you see it. It's tipping, it's tipping, it's tipping. That beautiful, amazing house crashes. It crashes, and then the water takes it in such a way. And they show the next picture. The next picture is there's a bridge down here. So the house comes down, it hits the bridge, and it sinks the whole thing. It just tears it apart. It's destroyed. It's useless. Man, I want you to be a blessing. I want you to be a blessing to someone else. Jesus says if you build your house on the sand, if you say, take the Word of God and you just come to know it, but you don't practice it, you just kind of see it as a resource in your life, you see it as something that's helpful, but it's not the rock. It's not what you build your life on. Those storms, eventually, it's going to destroy your life. There's a second house. This happened in Canada. And this house is a fairly small house. The lady who owned the house was 85 years old. And in Canada, they had one of those crazy rains. They had more rain than we just had some time ago. They had They said they had 10 inches in 24 hours. And everything in this town, and there's the big dam right here, everything in this town, because they don't show it beforehand, they show it once the water's already come across. This water is coming across this river, and they show it all throughout the town, and you're seeing buildings being flooded, houses are floating away, and like, oh my, it was incredible. It wasn't just the river and a few houses. It was wiping out an entire town. But about 500 yards from the place that the dam was, the water is coming over, there's this little house. And the water rises up on that house, and you can see it just busting around it, busting around it, busting around it. And then they show it when it's all over. And there stands that house. And you can see it. It's built on this giant rock. And Jesus says, that's going to be you. That's going to be your life. See, what I love, the picture I love the most is not that your house stood. What I love the most, men, if you build your life on a rock, then your wife, when storms come, will always have a safe place to go. It's you. You're the house. And if you build your life on the rock, she's got a safe place to go. Your children have a safe place to build their lives on. A place that when the storms come, they have a safe place to go, because some major storms are going to come into your kids' lives. You build your life on the rock, then you're going to be a blessing to them. I want to challenge you. I can't make you this promise because I'm not the one that does it. But God makes you this promise. When you commit to something like a 40 days, you'll be blessed. Now, I can promise you this. The Word of God never lies. It never lies. It never fails. I can promise you this. There will be nothing more important that you can do in the next 40 days than commit to these six things. This is critical. Will it change your life forever and ever and ever? In some ways, yes. But that's not the point. The point is, it will allow you to build your life. You will find a rock in a world that's shaking. You're going to find a place you can build your life that will not fail you. Not tomorrow, not a year from now, not 40 years from now, not 100 years from now. You will not only be blessed, you will be a blessing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. It's amazing to me that you would be the word and come to earth. It's amazing to me that you would give us the Bible, which is you talking to us. I'm amazed that it doesn't matter who we are. We don't need to be important. We don't need to be special to understand the Bible. We just need to be humble. And we need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to study. We need to be willing to put it into practice. We need to be willing to show up. And so, I pray for each person here and each person on our stream to make the commitment to be here each week, to join a group and be there each week, to spend time with you each day for 40 days, to memorize that verse each week, and to trust you that you're the one who brings about blessing. And you're the one that will transform us into a blessing to others. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Before I go, if you're streaming, we have one ladies group that is a streaming group. If you're streaming and you're like, I've never been in a group before, I've only been a part of Skyline through streaming. Like, you've never been to our campus. I don't know you. You don't know me. I want to encourage you. We don't have this group started, but I'm willing to start this group. If you contact us and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of that group. If we get three people who've never been a part of a group, they've never, you only know us through streaming, then I will lead that group. We will get that going. We'll let you be a part of what we're doing. For all of the rest of us, we have lots of groups that are there. They are going to fill up pretty quickly, so don't waste your time. Make sure it's right there on the app. Get started. And it starts today. We are going to learn that the world may be shaken, but we are not, because we're planted on the Word of God.